I was locked in with the Father, but I'm really locked into this dunamis. I understand it to be our next level in a very large way. Amen? And the kingdom of God, say the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is not in word only. It's not word only, but in dunamis power and in the Holy Ghost. He says that over and over again. The kingdom is not in word only. So when it says the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, he's not going to give you partial kingdom. Amen. He's going to give us full kingdom. Amen. When you pray, thy kingdom come, we're not praying for partial kingdom come. We're praying for fullness. Amen. And what's kind of wrong, we talked about this yesterday a little bit in the prayer time. What's wrong is there's a model created these days of what everyone deems to be a successful church. And when people get born again and raised up under that model, they think that's what the kingdom looks like. And so they want a pattern after that. And they say, this is what I deem the kingdom to look like, and I want to do the same thing. And God's trying to usher in a true kingdom model. The one like he, when he sent his disciples out, and he put his dunamis creative power on them. And he put his exousia authority on them. And he sent them out. And he says, now go tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Go preach the word and tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. And we think, where is all that? It's virtually almost non-existent in the churches today to have that kind of power flowing. I mean, you have to go look for it. Seriously look for it. I mean, we have the gifts flowing, but to have the raw power of the kingdom, which God considers normal church, by the way. It's not an easy realm to go after because the enemy's not just resisting you. He's resisting the model. He's resisting the prototype. He don't want anybody to understand what the true kingdom looks like. Amen? Because you start seeing that, you get hungry for it. Amen? You start seeing that, you'll throw religion out the door. You'll throw religion out and you'll go after it. Amen? So that's what we're after. Praise God. We're after the kingdom. Amen? And so what he's done, he's brought us to a convergence process in this journey we've been in with his word, the lampstand, and all of you that understand what we're talking about. And now it's coming into this place just like the Lord. He was the word for 30 years, but until he was endued with dunamis power, nothing was going to happen in his ministry. There's a time when God's going to add dunamis to the word. Amen. And he's going to add it by faith. He's going to add it by faith because Acts chapter 4 comes after Acts chapter 2. Because Acts chapter 4, they prayed and the Holy Ghost fell out all over again. It sounded like he fell out stronger than he did in the first time because the place was shaken where they were gathered together. He shook the walls of the place. Because when the Holy Spirit fell out in Acts chapter 2, he brought a supply of dunamis with him. He said, but wait until you be endued, say endued with dunamis. And wait until you be endued, be clothed. That means to be clothed in dunamis. Don't go out, even though I opened the books to you. When he said that to him, he's standing there in a resurrected state. He said, let's eat. They ate. He said, touch me. I want you to see that you are not seeing a ghost to you. It's me. Touch me. And he opened the books to them and he gave them the very messages they were going to preach. And he gave them the word. They had a, I mean, they were ready to go. I mean, you've seen the Lord ready to go, but he says, don't go until you be endued. He said, wait. And they waited in one accord. And they weren't just waiting. They were in prayer. Amen. And then the Holy Ghost wait to the promise of my Father, which he's going to send to me. And then I'm going to send him to you. And then he's going to bring down some things. He's going to bring down a lot. He's going to teach you how to come back up. But he's going to bring some power down to you. Amen. And don't go out with this without this dunamis. I didn't go. The Lord didn't go out with dunamis. The apostles didn't go out with dunamis. The church age that God's going to close out the world with is going to be clothed in dunamis again. That's power. That's the word for power, by the way. Amen? Say power. That's the same stuff flowed out of him. Virtue flowed out of him, and he healed them all. Acts 4 comes along, and they prayed all over again. Signs, miracles would be one. be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And the place was shaking where they were gathered together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And he poured it all out again. And with great dunamis power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. And that infilling broke out into the streets. That second infilling broke out where miracles, signs, and wonders had broken out in Acts chapter 5. And they were bringing the sick from the surrounding cities, laying them on beds and couches. And it was on Peter. The glory is on him, and it broke out in an atmosphere. And all they had to do is that atmosphere, that was that dunamis. All they had to do is touch him, and bam, they were healed. That atmosphere fell on him, they were healed. He was carrying the atmosphere of dunamis. He was raising the dead. Peter was on it, man. You should read some of the things he did. He did just like the Lord did. He went in there and raised that widow from the dead. He removed them all from the room, just like the Lord did. The Lord taught him how to do this. He said, get the unbelief out of the room. Get the dunamis in the room. Get the unbelief out. Some of you are going to pray for some people. You need to move half the people out. Because all of those people that are in there, they say, well, we're praying and they're weeping and crying. And, you know, they're full of unbelief most of the time. Got to get those on out. Amen. Get them out. Usher the dunamis in. Amen. Usher the Holy Ghost. He's going to bring that dunamis in. So he's been talking to us about these prayers. Of Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3. I want you to see Ephesians 1, then I'm going to get into my message tonight. I'm going to give you something to do that you can do. Say do. I'm going to give you something to do. What must we do to work the works of God? I'm going to give you something to do. And it works. I did it twice today. I went to the Astros game. I did it all the way to the Astros game. I did it all the way back. In the car. The Lord said, turn the radio off. He goes, prime your pump is what he said. He said, start speaking to the rock. And I spoke for 45 minutes all the way there. And I spoke for 45 minutes all the way back while I was driving. And nobody got run over. And I didn't stop until I got home. I'll give you something to do. Amen. The first operations of dunamis come from this prayer. Ephesians 1, I gotta have to move because this is really not where I'm at tonight. Verse 15, wherefore I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and loved all the saints. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus, Father of glory, may give unto you. This is an awesome prayer to pray. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. You have to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation to function properly. Amen. You need the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You need revelation coming out of that Bible. And wisdom, the Holy Ghost is going to give you that. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Actually, the NIV says the eyes of your heart be flooded with light. Say flooded with light. You're going to have the eyes of your heart. God deals in the heart. Don't approach the Bible with your head. God's going to deal with our heart. Eyes of the heart. You should pray this prayer before you even open your Bible. Father, flood the eyes of my heart with light. So you may know, and he wants you to know three things. He wants you to know the hope for which you have been called. That means hope. He wants you to understand the fullness and the greatness of his calling for you. His calling for you. His calling to flow to you, through you, into the world. He wants you to know that. He wants you to know who you are and the calling he has for you. He wants you to know. And what the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints, the same riches and glory that are going to be in the chapter 3 prayer, according to the riches and glory you grant unto us to be empowered with all dunamis creative power. Amen? The riches of his glory. He wants you to know what's been laid up for you in Christ. What are the riches of the glory? You have to know it. You can't receive what you don't know. If you don't see it, you won't go after it. Amen? So much that we need, they're blind. The enemy will try to blind us. We need what Jesus has made available to us. And I'm not talking about just salvation and the blood. We know all that. We need the things that we don't know. Amen? And what is the exceeding greatness, the exceeding greatness of his dunamis creative power to usward who believe? We have to know. The Lord said, do you understand the exceeding greatness of my power to you? I'm like, I'm getting it. I'm getting it. I'm getting a hold of it. He goes, I want you to know it. I want you to have it. He wouldn't be telling you to pray. And then in chapter 3, he tells you to pray for it. To receive it. And then he says, God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the dunamis. That's what? Working what? In us. It's got to get in us before it gets through us. Amen? So, he's given us these prayers, prayers of faith, praying in the name of Jesus. Most assuredly, whatsoever you pray in my name, my Father will give it to you. So we have these prayers, but then there's something else. Say there's something else. So you bring it up, you ask, you stay with him in the priesthood during your quiet time. And we do that on Tuesdays all the time. But there's another thing that you can do on your way to work. How many of you drive at least 30 minutes a day? Raise your hand. Ooh, I'm going to give you something to do. How many of you drive 45 minutes? I'm going to give you something to do. Amen. I'm going to get you a motor turned on. Amen. We're going to get your faith machine cranked up. Amen. Go to Numbers chapter 20. That was all review. Now we're going to start the message. It's in Numbers 20. Praise the Lord. It's awesome too. We used to do this in the beginning, but God's shifting it into a new place. You know, Proverbs says, death and life and the power of the tongue. You got to get your tongue working in the right place. Amen. Glory to God forever. All right. So Numbers 20, they're assembled there and there's no water. They're back in a circumstance and they're all full of unbelief and they want to stone Moses. And it's amazing how we leaders one day we're doing great. The next day they want to stone you, but that's just the way it is, you know. Praise the Lord. There's no water. Look at verse 5. And they, wherefore we've made us to come out of Egypt to bring us into this dreadfully evil place. There's no place of seed, no figs or vines, no pomegranates, no water to drink. Moses goes, Lord, they're ready to stone me. And the Lord gives him some amazing instructions. I mean, the most awkward thing you would think, not in a million years could you work out how to get water. And God tells him how to get water. He tells him, how would you like to be Moses here? I would not want to be Moses during this time. During verse 8, God tell me this, and 6 million people are depending on you to get water, and God tells you this, and I got to go back and tell people what God told me to do? Look at verse 8. Take your rod, gather the assembly together. See, God says, take your rod, gather everybody together. Aaron, thy brother, go before this rock over here and speak to it. Say, speak to it. Speak to that rock right there before their eyes. See that? He didn't get to go speak to the rock. You know, it's like when they planted a tree in my house the other day. And I'm back there and I'm peeking over the neighbors. Like, then I start grabbing the tree and start praying over it, you know. But he didn't get to do that. He didn't get to see if anybody's around. He said, get everybody in front of you, right in front of their eyes. Now speak to the rock. None of this hiding. You're going to do this in front of everybody. I want you to speak to that rock. Say, speak to the rock. And he will give forth. Notice what it says. He didn't say it's. He said his. Say his. He will give forth his water. And you shall bring them forth water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation a beast to drink. Moses didn't do that. He actually struck it. He took the rod. He struck it twice, and that's what God said. You're not going in the promised land, because that rock was a type of Christ. He's only going to be struck once, and the cross was once, was enough, did not need to be struck again. It was once. Once was enough. Amen? Once was enough. Say, once was enough. It was finished. He said, speak, though. That was what he said. Now, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But they got the water. He struck the rock, and water came out. Could you imagine water coming out of a rock? Oh, I'm glad the Lord has not given me that instruction. Praise the Lord. But he has given us the same instructions, because he wants us to call the living waters of creative life, the same waters the Lord carried, and said the waters of virtue flowed out of him and he healed them all. That was dunamis power. It was in him, carried in him, and they flowed out of him and he healed them all. Say, he healed them all. God wants us to find water. Say, water. Listen, when you find water and nobody else has the water, you're going to be a very blessed man, very blessed woman. Amen? When Isaac found water and nobody else had it, he became the envy of the world, the envy of the Philistines. Nobody else had the water. Nobody. Say, nobody. God wants us to find the waters that are all around, that is a full supply, that nobody seems to have flowing. I'm talking about the waters of creative life, the ones that are flowing out of Ezekiel's temple. Remember? Ezekiel's temple? You know who that temple is? You are that temple. Remember that temple faced east? The door of the temple, and said the waters broke out of the foundation underneath the temple out of the right side. Where does Christ sit? At the right hand of the Father. What was the foundation of the temple? What was the foundation of the temple? Going once, going twice, $100 to anybody who knows this question. The foundation was the foundation stone. Behold, I lay in Zion. Oh, yeah, of course. The stone, the precious cornerstone, you know, the one that we're standing on, is the foundation of your temple, which is the rock, which the waters came out of, that filled the temple and filled it up and then broke out the east gate and flowed first to the ankles, then to the knees, then to the loins, then waters to swim. And that's the baptism we're looking for. Got to have that level of baptism now. See, that's what the Lord was baptized. See, you got to have that kind of baptism. We're not talking about water. We're talking about living waters of creative life. Dunamis. Say dunamis. And it flowed to where? The Dead Sea. But he said, whithersoever the double river will go. Say double river. And flowed to the Dead Sea and said, everything that's dead would live again. Flowed to the Dead Sea. And it flowed in and said, fishermen stood on the banks of En-Gedi and En-Gliam, and they cast the nets. And they brought all manner of fish out of the Dead Sea. That's salvation of the nations. Say, salvation of the nations. For all manner of fish, salvation of the nations. Amen. And then it flowed. And it said the leaves of trees started forming. Life started forming everywhere. See the waters of creative life. And what happened? It said the leaves of the tree became the healing of the nations. And the leaves, the Bible said, grew fruit. New fruit. Say new fruit. Not stale fruit. Not dead manna. If you're in the flow of God, you won't have dead manna. Amen? If you're in the vine, your manna is not going to get stale. It's going to stay full. Amen? Because it's new fruit every month. Say new fruit. Every month. Brand new fruit forming on the tree. Whew. That means it's never running dry, continuous. And then the other waters flowed where? To the great sea, the Mediterranean Sea of Commerce. The two waters. All coming out of one temple, out of one foundation stone. All right? Got all that? That's imagery by which you pray with, by the way. When you pray, don't say, Our Father, which art in heaven. No, you pray with imagery. When you say thy kingdom come, you've got to know what's in there. You've got to see that kingdom flowing. You have to see those waters coming. Call them out from the rock into the earth. Amen? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Feel like my Harley. Moreover, brethren, I would that you not be ignorant. Everyone said, Amen. How that the fathers were under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They were baptized in the Red Sea. That's born again. They were baptized under the cloud. That's the Holy Ghost. They had the baptism. Say the baptism. They had the baptism. Right? They did it. All eat of that same spiritual meat. Manna. Manna. Say manna. Verse 4. And they did all drink. Say did all drink. That same spiritual drink. Which what? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. So that followed them. The one that Moses spoke to. The one that he spoke to said they drank of the water that came out. And that rock was what? That rock was what? That rock. That rock satisfied the thirst of over 6 million people for 40 years. Say 40 years. Followed them around. God marched 6 million people into a desert where there is no food, there is no water. Why? To show them, I am your provider. And I'll show you my provision. And he fed them supernaturally, and he watered them supernaturally. And we, as a church in this age, keep thinking, we're going to do this. We're not going to do and get the job done until the supernatural starts flowing again, until that water starts coming out of that rock again. The church cannot just do the best it can do. That's not it. The church must fully surrender to the fullness of God's plan, where the living waters of dunamis creative power begin to converge with God's word again, and that the waters of creative life flow into the Dead Sea, and that everything that's dead will begin living again. Dead limbs, dead cells, dead finances, dead bodies, everything that's dead will live again. And when the Lord asked me, he said, do you believe in these waters? Do you believe in the exceeding greatness of the dunamis creative power to usward who believes? Do you believe in this? I said, I see it. I see it with the apostles. I see it with your ministry. I see it. He goes, you're a lot further along than others because they can't even see it. They don't even know that that's what they're going to build with. They're still building with their little church templates of how to get 1,000 people into your church. They have seminars and they make a lot of money doing it. God has a kingdom that's not in word only. Amen. There is a rock. Say there's a rock in me that has this water. Say the kingdom of heaven is within. The kingdom of heaven covered not by ocular observation. Say the kingdom of heaven covered not by observation, ocular evidence. What's ocular evidence? It's the word observation means ocular evidence. It doesn't come out here. It comes from here. So the Lord began talking to me about this. He goes, you know, I taught you in the early days how to speak, how to confess. Remember when I taught you that I was the high priest of your confession, death and life, power of the tongue? Remember all that? I said, yeah, I remember. He goes, I want you to begin employing that again alongside of what you're praying for. And I want you to begin speaking to that rock in you. And Philemon. It says, the communication of your faith becomes effective. Say effective. Listen, if your faith is not communicating, you're not going to be effective. You're going to write that down. If your faith is not communicating every day, if you're waking up doing the same thing you've been doing the last 10 years, 20 years, you're going to get the same results you've been getting the last 10 years, 20 years. If you're thinking, well, God's going to just one day do this, it doesn't work that way. Because, why? Because God has already done this. God has already done this thing that you keep waiting, or we keep waiting on him to do. Amen? Well, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. He already did it. He already did it. Say, he already did it. Say, it is finished. He said, by one offering we have been. This is the foundation of faith, by the way. It's the foundation of your words. By one offering we have been forever perfected. Say, forever perfected. He that cometh to God must first believe that he is. First believe it. That he is what? He is who he says he is. He's done what he says he's done. And it is enough. Say, is enough. It must be that way. Because if your confession or your faith is trying to move God, it's misplaced. Do you hear me? If your faith is trying to move him, it's misplaced. He's already been moved. He's already done this. The glorious thing about our dispensation is we're operating from a finished position. God first. He first requires that we believe it's done. Before you get started, believe it's finished. Before we start, I want you to believe we've done this. In other words, do you believe the water in you, in Christ, in you, is enough? Okay, go to Philemon. Amen. Philemon chapter 1. Philemon 1, verse 6. Glory to God. The communication of your faith. Say, faith communicates. This is what I'm going to get to you. This is what he started telling me. He goes, I want your faith communicating now. He's locked me in. See, if you've been doing this as long as I have and run into enough things and know what it's going to take to get over that hill, you're going to have to do something. Amen? But the thing is, when you're looking at the realm of the invisible and you're looking at the realm of the impossible, there's a tendency the enemy wants to grab a hold of your sufficiency and try to get you to go move that mountain. Try to get you to employ a part of you. See, he's trying to employ a part of you, and God's trying to employ Christ in you. And you got to have a level of word that can divide asunder those operations. Because sometimes you can't tell the difference between what's Christ in you and what's the flesh. Abraham had two sons. One was a son of promise. God ordained son of promise could only come by faith. Other one was a son of the flesh that can be purchased, birthed, and brought forth by flesh. Amen? You have to know the difference. So when you do this long enough and you run in enough dead ends, you'll find out what you can do, what you can't do. Amen? So what happens is you get, like we talk about backpacking the ark. Remember when Uzzah. Carlos has a message on that. Uzzah. Remember when Uzzah steadied the ark? See, things of the kingdom can't be steadied by our sufficiency. Uzzah lost his life for that. Your flesh, there's parts of you that die when you get to touching the things of God the wrong way. Does that make sense? You're going to find out what you can't do. So how many of you ever gone down a road, thought it was God, wasn't God, and you ended up broken? Raise your hand. End up through a broken circumstance, a broken situation. That was designed to break you. How many of you have been broken really hard? Raise your hand. How many of you have been broken beyond measure? Raise your hand. So when you get broken like that, everyone said, brokenness, you got to be broken. Man, I was broken 20 years ago, 15 years ago, very broken, 10 years ago, broke. Okay, so you get to where, okay, I'm broken, now what? Okay, so you're broken, and it's like, okay, well, just wait on God then after you're broken. Well, I am waiting, and nothing's happening. Because the brokenness is only one operation. It's designed to get the outer man flesh out of the way. Amen? But then he needs to start employing what it is sanctified in the kingdom of God. What you can do. What they said, Lord, what must we do to work the works of God? We want to do what you just did. We want to know. He said, you want to know how to do this? This is the work of God. Believe. Learn how to believe. Learn what you can do. Learn how to get your belief system in alignment with the kingdom of God. Amen. That's what you can do. There are, when you get your belief system, I can tell you one thing you can do all the time is run your mouth for the kingdom of God. Turn your mouth on for the kingdom. Turn your confession on. Like, speak to the rock. Say, speak to the rock. And learn to speak. If you get really good at it, you can go a whole hour while you're driving. And you're not even looking at that. You're looking at the road. You're fully coherent. But your whole inner man is locked in. Amen. I used to, when we confessed, we were just trying to move these mountains out here. I was just fighting the enemy in his territory with my confession. It works. Done it. Seen great things from it. Lots of headache from it. Lots of hardship. Not the best way to do it. God would rather employ your faith to open things that are already available to you. All right? Philemon. Watch this. Verse 6. That the communication of your faith while you're on your way to the Astros game, in your car, I did it. Don't nobody in here tell me you can't do it. I did it for a whole hour, and it was awesome. I did it for 2 hours today. Well, an hour and a half, 45 minutes there, 45 minutes back. Didn't miss a beat. Whole time. In fact, he has me just doing this all day long. I just get into a flow of it, and just, you get in a flow. Why? Because you're starting to order your future. You're starting to order because we're calling on something we desperately, desperately need, not only personally in this body, but in the body of Christ. We need a river of creative dunamis power. We need more than a cup. So we're going to have to plow into the kind of faith that can open up a full river. Amen? That's what we need. The communication of your faith may become effective. Say effective. He wants effective faith. Effective. By the acknowledging. Say acknowledging. Of every good thing which is in you. Hey, there's some good stuff in you. The enemy would like to tear you down all the time and tell you how bad you are, but there's some really awesome stuff up in you. It's called in Christ. Say in Christ. Everything, good thing that's in you, in Christ. So what all is in us? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The kingdom of God is within. The Father dwelleth within. The Holy Ghost dwelleth within. Christ dwells within. Amen? How about the rock? Christ. How about all of his inheritance that the book of Ephesians said, you may know the riches of the glory of his grace and exceeding greatness of his dunamis towards you. That rock is in you. Say, that rock is in you. What did he tell Moses to do? Speak, and the water would come forth. Amen? Say, speak, and the water. But where are you speaking? Not out here, in here. You can drive and be speaking to the rock inside. God has made you capable to do that. You are a spiritual being in a natural body. That's the order. Not a natural being with a spirit. You're a spiritual being. You can operate in the spirit driving down the road. He said, I want to give my people some things to do. The ones that say they have no time, I want to give them things they can do all the day long. And man, I'll tell you, it just started a little awkward at first. I hadn't done it in a while. And all of a sudden just picked it right back up. Just started. You'll get very fluid. What are you doing? You're ordering your future. Why? Because you're speaking and calling something to come forth up out of this rock that's going to inevitably change and transform your future. And not only is it going to come forth, it's going to create a full river. Amen? Go to Psalms 114. Any good? Now, when you're speaking, it's amazing because you can be driving and see the road, but I'm looking at the imagery of the temple when I'm speaking. I'm speaking, I've got my hand on the wheel, but I'm looking at Ezekiel's temple, and I'm looking at the double river flowing to the great sea. I say, Father, out of my temple floweth the double river of the waters of creative life, flowing to the great sea of humanity in Houston, Texas, and everything that's dead will live again. Ooh, everything that's dead will live again. And they're honking at me, everything that's dead will live again, Father.
Whithersoever the double river will flow, you're breaking it off to the great sea as well. And the waters and the wealth of the seas will be converted by the waters of creative life, creative provision. Hallelujah. My eyes are getting bigger. And somebody's looking at me like, man, that dude is on something. I am. Every time I say it, my eyes are getting bigger. When you first start speaking, you haven't primed your well in years. You got rocks all over your wells. Jeremiah said, thy word. You got all kinds of stuff over your well. He says, your word is a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. You're going to have to hammer away a little bit before something flows up. Sometimes you're going to hammer it, break it. He gives you a hammer. You have to use your faith. This is how you do it in the kingdom of God. I heard Gloria Copeland say this the other day. She goes, if Kenneth and I ever stopped the operation of faith that comes from our mouth, we would be doomed within a year. Our ministry would fall apart. She goes, our whole ministry is upheld by the word of our confession. They know they've built it. He upholds all things by the word of his creative dunamis power. He'll uphold you. He'll uphold you. You have to get sick and tired of where you're at, or you'll never do this. I'll be preaching to deaf ears. You have to come to the place where your way doesn't work anymore. You have to come to the place where you've hit so many dead ends in life that you are broke and broken to the level that you're willing to do it God's way. God doesn't need mixture. His gospel's enough. And you have to know when you get started, this is enough. When I start down this road, I'm not stopping. When I started down this road and when the Lord said, I want to re-engage this, I've done this before. I know the first one, how long it took. So I already knew. I said, I'm not moving mountains out there. I'm opening one in here. I'm opening up a big well. I want a river of creative dunamis power to join this word that we carry. I want Christ to be ordained in me, commissioned in me. Amen. Psalms 114. Tremble, verse 7, thou earthen vessel. At the presence of the Lord, tremble. At the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into standing water, to a pool of water. He's going to turn that rock into a pool of water inside of you. Notice what it says, in the flint, because another verse he said he brought water out of the flint, the flinty rock into a standing fountain of water. He's going to turn your rock, he's going to cause him to stand up inside you, to a standing fountain of water. And when that fountain stands up, I speak like that now. Stand up, O rock. Stand up. Today it was like, stand up, O rock. Stand up. Stand up, O rock. I'm looking at the road, but my spiritual eye is fixed inside. And I'm looking at this fountain. And I'm looking at this reservoir. And I am looking at what God has done. And here's a great mystery. If you don't get anything I say tonight, I'm going to give you a massive, massive key to the kingdom of God. You ready for this? Whatever you give attention to in the kingdom magnifies. You start giving your attention to dunamis, it'll start magnifying and magnifying and magnifying. It's just like the Holy Ghost that lives in you. You can take someone who got baptized in the Holy Ghost, hadn't been walking with God 20 years. They haven't felt the Holy Ghost because they don't give any attention to him. And I can teach them how to immediately start giving attention to him through acknowledgement. All of a sudden, they'll start feeling his presence again. By the mere fact, they just started giving attention and acknowledging. You can do the same thing with dunamis. There's a rock in there that wants to become a standing fountain. How is that going to happen? It's not just going to happen. You have to give attention to it. Attend to my words. You give attention to the fountain that's living inside you. It has living water in there called creative dunamis power, dunamis virtue, dunamis life, dunamis provision. When it breaks forth, it's going to do some astounding things, even in the financial realm. Go to John 4. According to his divine dunamis power, Peter says, while you're on the John, I'll just throw a verse out there. According to his divine dunamis power, has given unto us all things that pertain to Zoe life and godliness. The reason why God is not real to us is because we're not giving attention. Amen? We start attending these things. What we need, what he's focusing on right now, is the stuff that fuels the entire kingdom of God. Dunamis fuels his word. It fuels the authority. It fuels your faith. It fuels Zoe life. It fuels godliness in you. It's the fuel to get your car moving. Without it, nothing's going to happen. Sometimes you can lock in so deep. I mean, it's kind of amazing the way God has designed us, because you can lock in here and walk around. I was walking around the Astros game today, watching that game the whole time. I was all here. If you learn to get up in here with your acknowledgement and with your faith, if you understand how to do this, you can start tapping into a realm that's going to take the kingdom realm and bring it into the earth and start shifting mountains, shifting circumstance. If you don't tap into it, the flesh overrides. When the flesh overrides, you're just subject to what everybody else is subject to. Amen? Now, when you do this, you might as well know, don't think it's going to come within 2 days. Well, I did that for 3 days and nothing happened. Listen, you don't even go to a university without it signing up for 4 years to go get an education that might be, maybe, after you spend $150,000 that cannot be deleted from your record. Maybe you'll get a job. Maybe. But nobody questions the fact that you're going to have to go in and give your intellect to a system of education to understand. Come out with that education, because that's how the world works. How much more is the kingdom of God going to require your focus? It's going to require your dedication. It's going to require hunger and a thirst. And if you don't want that, it's probably not going to work for you the way you want it to. Amen. But it's full and it's creative and it's awesome and it's amazing. And it's actually full of joy. He fills you with all joy and peace and believing. He makes you abounding hope that the dunamis power, the Holy Ghost, it's working. You get to the point where it's a joy. I'm like, God, I'm having fun doing this. And my circumstance hasn't even changed. But I'm having fun. And I feel different. And I'm feeling alive. And I'm not moved by what I see right now. I don't care. I'm being moved by what I see in the realm of the invisible, because I'm giving my attention to it, and I'm giving my faith to it, and I'm giving my words to it, and I'm giving my focus to it. Amen? John 4, we'll close, maybe. This is that chapter with the woman of Samaria. He comes up to her and says, give me to drink. God was asking man for a drink. That's powerful. Amen. Jesus answered, said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, you're going to thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. Say, never thirst. The water I will, here's some more imagery for your faith. The water that I will give him shall be where? Where? Where's the water? In him, a wellspring of water. Amplify, springing up, bubbling up, welling up with eternal life. That water is creative dunamis power, dunamis virtue, dunamis life. That is the invisible substance of Romans chapter 1. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen by the things that have been made, even his eternal dunamis power in Godhead. Everything you've seen created was created by that invisible substance. And that water's up inside of you in a well. And I'm thinking, God, if we all had a well in us like this, and it's supposed to be springing up, bubbling up, where is it? I pastor. I see the faces of people come in. I don't look like a well spring of life right there. I'm like, where is the life? Where's the glory? Where's the exceeding greatness? He told me, he said, do you believe it's in there? I said, I do. It's in the rock of Christ in you. There is a wellspring of eternal dunamis creative power waiting to come forth. He said, if you will begin speaking to that rock day in, day out, driving to work, driving home, having all the scriptures that accompany it, being full of the word, start speaking, and don't grow weak. We will speak, and will not grow weak. And do not move off of it because you didn't see it 1 month, 2 months. But know it's there. If you're going to do this, I'm telling you, I've been at this long enough to know that everybody in this place is not going to do this. I get that part. You might as well know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make my stand. Because when you begin this, there's no turning back. You hear what I'm saying? I am committing as a pastor and apostle in training in this house. This is what's going to bring our apostolic office into fullness. This is what's going to cause the ordination. It's the dunamis. Period. People can call you apostle all day long. You can call yourself an apostle. It doesn't matter what you call yourself. It matters, is that on you? Are the signs of the apostle on your life? That's all that matters. We have the doctrine of the apostle. We have the calling of the apostle. But God is going to do this. Amen? It's all up in that rock in there. Why don't he just give it to you? Because if he gives it to you, you won't know how to go back and get it. And God wants us to have faith to prime a pump that'll have a free-flowing river. And by the time chapter 7 comes, out from our innermost being floweth rivers. Say rivers of living water. Say rivers. The well springs up from the rock and flows out just like it did the Lord. Virtue flowed out of them and healed them all. Say all. You want to know what you can do? One thing you can do for the kingdom that will never get you in trouble is use your mouth and speak to the rock. You can speak all day long. Amen? Isn't that good? Let's give God glory. Father, thank you for the waters. Thank you. You turneth our rock into a standing fountain of water. A standing fountain. Once you begin this, you can't turn around. Amen? Once you begin this, you can't turn around. Hear me? How many of you are tired of being where you're at? I already know this works. I already did this before, and I did it all the wrong way. And it still worked. Moved some awesome mountains. Now we don't want to move mountains out here. We want to open up a river that will move every mountain. Isn't that awesome? Glory to God. Let's give God glory! Thank you, Lord! You want to give us a verse? Let's welcome Sharon back.
This is a verse, Numbers 21, 16 through 18, and it's following up with the verse, Numbers 28, that he gave, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield water. Thus you will bring water out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. Well, it goes on the next chapter and it says, Numbers 21, 16 through 18, from there the Israelites traveled to Beer. And Beer in Hebrew means well or an oasis of rest. An oasis of rest in the desert. Because wherever you find water, you find rest. And then it said, which is the well where the Lord said to Moses, assemble the people and I will give them water. There the Israelites sang this song. Spring up, O well. Spring up, O well. Yes, sing its praises. Sing of the well. Then it goes on to say, so they started by speaking. Then they used their mouth in singing to keep that well open. And what's fascinating is that God could have said to the ground, he could have said to the ground, you know, it's more natural to think of water coming out of ground than to come out of rock. For water to come out of rock would have been a spectacular miracle. For that would be a spectacular miracle to see water come out of a rock. But God wanted to show them as well that it is an amazing, nothing is impossible with God. But okay, but the last part of this verse, it says, sing of this well which the princes dug, which great leaders hollowed out of their scepters and their staffs. Then the Israelites proceeded through the wilderness. So it says that they actually, in the Message Bible, it says, dug out by the people's leaders, digging with their scepters and their staffs. In other words, they used their power and authority in the name of the Lord. The Lord gave them, the Father gave them that power and authority. They exercised it just with their mouth, because Beer means rest. It means oasis in the rest. They didn't do it by laborsome toil. They did it using their power and authority from the Father.
Wow, I love that. Dug it out with their scepter, their authority. And here's another word for you. It said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen.